shelf of Bear's Barroom Christmas. Let the barflies unite. Listen to the podcast that's gone worldwide. Have yourself a Bear's Barroom Christmas. Bear season's been so bad, but in the barroom we've even had a laugh at that. 'Cause here we are, Albo, Shane and Phil, Nick, John and Bear's girl, the barflies, faithful listeners that are dear to us. Subscribe and favorite us worldwide. Through the losing, we plan to be together. Another season to survive. A phone on tap, 100 proof, and Bears our life. 'Cause here we Shane and Phil, Nick, John and Bear's girl, the barflies, faithful listeners that are dear to us, subscribe and favorite us worldwide. And through the losing we plan to be together, another season to survive.
Monkey.
Yeah, that was a little bit interesting. That's a real story. I actually have pictures to prove that. Yeah, but anyways, they asked me about what my Christmas gift was. And that year, we'd gone down to my grandparents. They had a home down in Marathon Key in Florida. And so on the way back up from that, we happened to stop at a pet store. In those days, that was all legal. It was above board. I don't think they're selling too many of those things now, but... yeah, she was actually a great pet, and it was, you know, as I look back at it, very unusual, you know, for today's world.
How old were you?
I was probably about 11 or 12, yeah, and we got her as a real small baby, and so she was very, very friendly.
Christmas gift?
Yeah. Well, we were down in Florida for Christmas, so it was... I think she was around for about 3 years. And my brother had a little mishap, tied her up, and she got wrapped up, and she actually got sunstroke, believe it or not. You know, you'd think a monkey in tropical land would be fine, but it didn't work out so well.
This is a special Saturday night, Christmas Eve Eve. Bears are alive with Draft Dr. Phil Latoshin. I am Aldo Gandia, and you just heard Bears head coach John Fox recall his childhood pet, Gidget, a monkey who died of heat stroke. Awkward! Draft Dr. Phil, before we talk about Gidget, Bears football, answer questions from the barflies, preview the Browns game, you have some important news about our friend Shane Marsaw.
Yeah, Shane, first of all, barflies and everyone listening in, I just want to say Merry Christmas. And, you know, we're not going to get the opportunity to speak, but we are going to entertain on Christmas Day. And I'm sure over 100 or 200 and whatever, 280 characters now, Aldo.
Yes, sir.
We'll communicate with the barflies on Christmas, but I wanted to take the opportunity in the light of what I'm going to say about Shane to just appreciate the camaraderie and friendship and, I mean, worldwide compassion that Bear fans share in commissary, misery, and in the toughness of everyone's everyday life. I don't know what everyone's dealing with, and we don't know, you know, you don't know what we're dealing with. And I think about Shane and this person that he is and how timely and a man of his word. And just, I've known him for 17 years now, and just have never had the opportunity, as crazy as it sounds, to physically get together with him and his family. They're like family. We exchange gifts and send letters. But yeah, Shane has been, if you don't know, Shane is a mailman. And this is the season, as you know, delivering the mail. I can hear Isaiah Robles on his birthday singing it. My lyric, but Shane really has been busting his butt, you know, doing his job and coming here and working and writing stuff for the bar room and doing stuff for his family. And today, unfortunately, you know, Shane got to the limit of a human body's limit that they could take and had an accident. I don't know how much he wants me to share, but I'll just share that he's okay, but his body gave up on him. And in a sport that we cover with truth like no other, you know, I felt, and I think Aldo felt, it's important to be truthful to our audience. Otherwise, Shane would be joining us tonight, but he's okay. He had an incident where he collapsed and took a blunt to the head and his elbow. And once he's back on his feet, you know, I'm going to be busting his chops about this for months. So tonight we are going to salute Shane Barflies, reach out to him. He is okay. He did check in with us later. His wife actually texted me. It was the first time he and her have really like communicated through text even. So that was a time for me to make a joke. I don't know if she quite got and understood it because she is from Europe. So I'll have to ask Shane about that. She's probably like, this guy's a jerk. But Shane, we wish you nothing but the best, and we're all thinking of you. I know Aldo is, and myself. We thought it would take the time before we get into this destruction to talk about your self-destruction. So we need you to get better, man. We need you to, you know, hydrate, drink those electrolytes, get some sleep, most importantly, man. And we have nothing but love for you.
Very well said, Phil. And I echo everything you said. I want him to get better. He was going to make an appearance on our Christmas Day special. I told him, no way, you get your rest. I've been there where, you know, you just are working 18, 20 hours, and all of a sudden you hear your body saying, dude, you better get some rest. And that's what happened to him. So hopefully he's resting comfortably. I am sure that he is in great hands with his family and loved ones around him. So we wish him all the very best. And so, Barflies, reach out to him and send them some get well wishes. All right, let's talk some football. The Chicago Bears are facing the winless Cleveland Browns. Phil, are you worried about this game? Because I am.
I really am. I mean, you could talk the talk all you want. This is the NFL, and on any given Sunday, you know, you look at the Bears beating the Steelers, the Panthers, and the Ravens, and you look at where they are, and they've been in games despite their coaching staff and the personnel usage and everything you can imagine. Mike Glennon, for God's sake, and you're still in these games. That's how this league of parody is. That's why I laugh at these schmoes talking analytics and PFF grades and all this stuff. Even me and Trey, you know, leading up to the season, talking about Adrian Amos and Demps and the kid Jackson, who was one of my favorite picks in the draft. And people laughing like, oh, they're average, they're nothing. And then even in the performance of Amos, they still overlook the guy. It's like you can't win for trying here until you win games. Then the illicit light of Pro Bowls and what have you. Because even looking back at Akeem Hicks in the season that he's put together, I find it very difficult to find a defensive end more dominant. Mike Daniels, I consider him an interior guy, but if you want to put him, but I got nothing but respect for that football player for the Packers. Same kind of player that Akeem Hicks is, didn't get voted into the Pro Bowl, losing team, elicits that kind of response. Here you are going up against a winless Browns team that has a lot of defensive talent. You know, Greg Williams is from his days in New Orleans and the trouble they had there. What was the Bounty Gate?
Yep.
Greg he had Williams, that yeah. situation come out and he got suspended and Peyton and the fines. He's going to have his guys fired up and amped up because they smell blood in the water, and they should, because here's a team coached by Fox that there is tape out there showcasing that they've given up. And they're going to play half-ass. And when they get down, they give up. And those of you not seeing it, you know, I don't know what to tell you. It's not coming from your quarterback, I'll tell you that. It's coming from certain players on the football team and the personnel usage by the offensive coordinator, putting them in situations that aren't to be won. And really, you know, we could go on for hours and hours about how terrible Dowell Loggins is. I've wrote songs about it. I've went on rants on this show. I've gone nuts about it. So to expect that to change going up against a team that really is going to be amped up and fired up and have a rookie quarterback and the whole nine, it's really a coin toss for me in a prediction of what's going to transpire. I can give you the remedy for success. I know what I would do to be successful tomorrow. Unfortunately, do I have any sheer confidence in this coaching staff? No. And that's why when I laugh, you know, going back and forth with some of these guys in the media and former players and really growing up the way I did, I look at this coaching staff and I see 80, 90% is an issue with them. Because the personnel is there despite the injuries. You talk about situational football, they're lost. And we talk about it thereafter, but we forget that there could have been a remedy for this if there was a plan in place. And there never is. And there always is some sort of situation that just makes you shake your head. And I can go back the list, the Trey McBride, the Tariq Cohen not used. Not on the field because, you know, he takes two guys with him. They're planning for him. They've shown how utterly stupid they are on so many levels of professional football that when Greg Gabriel or Mike Lombardi or former head coach Bill Parcells and another people are questioning you in the media that you're not a very well-coached football team, and they're questioning what you're doing, that showcases there's big trouble there. And really, ultimately, the young Bucks are the brunt of the hurt of it. Even when you had a glimpse of Shaheen taking a step forward, and you thought the next week he was going to be more of a focal point in the offense, he doesn't become that until 2 weeks later, and then he ended up getting hurt. It just over and over makes you question what this football team is about. And tomorrow, again, at the helm, at the control panel, is a head coach and an offensive coordinator that are lost, Aldo.
I hear you on that. I do.
Listen, I want to play a soundbite from John Fox's press conference. I believe this was yesterday, and he was asked about what do you do as a head coach when you have a bad record and you're playing a team with an even worse record? Basically, how do you fire them up? How do you get them focused and so forth? And I want you to hear his response, and then I want to ask you what you would say if addressing the team. A team that is not going anywhere and is playing a team that is the laughing stock of the league. And your own team could be the laughing stock of the league if you end up losing. So let's listen to Fox, and then, Coach Phil, I want you to address the Bears. Hold on.
No, I think, you know, again, back to whether it's the record, you know, their record, our record, all that stuff really has no bearing. You know, I think, you know, people on the outside try to make it that way. But, you know, these guys are all professionals. They do this for a living. You know, I think we're winding down the 17 season. You know, their focus is more on, you know, finishing, performing well. You know, they're not going to get a chance to do this with this group of people. You know, that's just the nature of our game. I'm talking about their teammates. You know, so I think, you know, you know, it is Christmas Eve. You know, most of these guys carry games with them, you know. What I mean, I think they'd feel a lot better, you know, on Christmas Day after a W than after the alternative. So I think those things are a little bit more motivational than, you know, crowds and records.
All right, Phil. I'm fired up. I'm ready to go out there and start yawning. that's how I feel about what he just said. So, Phil, and maybe you feel what he said is fine. I don't know. But I'd like to ask you to address this room of 54 players, 52 players, and it's minutes before the game. I'm going to give you a little echo. Here you go. You go for it whenever you're ready.
Oh, first of all, before I give you this, my fiery passion, I want to just say something.
Okay.
It's about John Fox. Me and Shane, I know I bring this up. I put it in a lyric about being maniacal. I told Olin Krutz that you need a coach that's maniacal. And I remember his response was, "What I've seen coaches that are maniacal and they don't win. Good. I've seen great doctors that have graduated from Harvard and they can't save everybody. That still doesn't stop the effort. And when I listen to Coach Fox, I see a guy that's full of excuses and letdown. And the definition of winning at all costs has lost him. That defining moment in a head coach, that he's in control of this locker room, not this freaking captain, not this quarterback that we signed to a big deal. Me, it's my name, it's my job. You represent me like a good father does with his family and his sons. So as I give you that, this is how I would address this locker room. Gentlemen, I need you to gather up and take a knee. And if you're sitting there in the back talking or listening to a goddamn headphone, let me take this fucking headphone off of you right now. Because this isn't going to be okay. Right now, you need an understanding of what's at stake. You are an embarrassment. I am an embarrassment. This is not how I intended this season to transpire. But it has. And here we are. And I want to see the measure of a man right now in this room that's going to go out there and define who you are to this league. Because my job's on the line. I understand that as John Fox. I understand that. But who are you? Who are you as a football player? Because right now that team hasn't won a game and they're going to come in here like crazed dogs because they smell blood in the water. So let's see who are my leaders without a C on their chest. Who loves this game? Who understands that every sacrifice that you've made matters to make this team? And these paychecks are the end result to the work that you've put in. We have to go out there and focus our attention on attacking this football team. And I am going to make sure that we do what we need to do to attack down the football field. And it starts with number 24. You see that guy standing right there who didn't get into the Pro Bowl and got screwed out of that? That young man is going to carry us today. And who's going to be willing to block to the whistle? Who is going to go all out? That's all I want to know, because I'm going to put it on you. Today's about you. Today's not about me. I'm done. I know that. But now I want to go out and win. I want to see who loves this great game of football and has that pride. And that would be the message sent to this locker room. Because I'm not going to play games and brush my hair back and talk about a monkey. I want to win. That's what I want. And I want to praise the guys that I know that sacrificed. It's 96. Where are you? Are you going to be ready to play today? Yes. I know he is. Who else wants to join him? And Aldo, I honestly would... DeAndre Hall would be starting at safety. I want to see young guys. Everybody would be on the football field, and it would be the best game we played all year would be on that Sunday. And if David Hall, Kaplan, and all these other schmoes covering the team are just going to pass it up, we know in that locker room that we finally got the truth out of the head coach and that people were hard-pressed to do their job and challenged for their passion for not only the franchise, but this great game of football.
Phil, I really, really loved your speech. And I think, you know, football players, we hear a lot about, oh, you know, they make millions. They should inspire themselves. They should be motivated themselves. No, it doesn't really work that way. Everybody needs a good kick in the butt. Not everybody, mm-hmm. but a lot of players. When you have a locker room full of 50 players, you're going to have all sorts of different types. And you might have a few that are going to need a little push, that are going to need an inspiring speech, that are going to need some rah-rah. And then you're going to have others that are going to be self-motivated. It is incumbent upon the head coach to go out there and make sure that everybody is fired up and ready to mm-hmm. play. You don't say, well, you know, they're professionals. They're going to be ready to get out there. No, it's your job. And based on what we have seen during this three-year tenure for Coach John Fox, it is obvious that when that team comes out of the tunnel, they're not always ready to play. They're not always mm-hmm. ready. And this team has more talent, and we've talked about it over and over again, more talent than people realize, but it's just not being coached properly. Not just the X's and O's. You've gone over that expertly, talking about the offense and talking about defense and the things that are going wrong, but it is also just getting guys ready to play, ready to fight. Football is a very emotional, physical game. If you're not firing up the guys to go out there and put their lives on the line, then you're doing something mm-hmm. wrong, because that's what they're doing. They're going out there and putting mm-hmm. their lives on the line. And so, you know, it just irritates the hell out of me that this head coach gets away with this BS and the media doesn't do anything to highlight his ineffectiveness as a head coach. Now, I've got another soundbite for you, Phil. This team, in terms of its penalties, is just awful. Awful. I wrote some notes here. Let me see if I can find them.
They're always a reflection of the head coach,
exactly,
the penalties.
Exactly.
Especially the pre-snap. If you tolerate that, because let me tell you, if you're Monday, these are professionals, as Aldo's saying. And yes, they put their lives on. This is a collision sport, even with all the different rules entrusted into this league and the catch rule and all this other garbage. The end of the day, it's about blocking and tackling and catching and dropping the football. It's always going to be about that, this game. And if your pre-snap penalties, lazy penalty holding, and selfishness, all of that reflects on the head coach. So as Aldo's talking, it just, I didn't even know that you were going to the penalties. It was one of my points tonight that it's okay to say as a professional coach, you're getting paid millions of dollars, probably more than me. Mike Glennon's making more than Coach Fox this year. Put that into perspective. That's why I always say, no, you pay the coach whatever. You want Harbaugh? Go get him. $11 million? Sure. If that's your belief, that's my belief. I would pay him because I know it would change. And on Monday morning, after a shit performance against Green Bay that you had 2 weeks to prepare, those whole team is out there running sprints. Put your shoulder pads on. We're going to go hit. That's the kind of coach this team and this franchise needs. And you could say all you want about, this is different. Well, old school players don't respond. It's been proven. Tough love responds. You want it? Get in there. You don't? Get them the hell out. No matter how talented. Send the message. Sit the bench. Trade them. Whatever you got to do to set the tone that winning and the team is the most important thing, and then we're going to take care of you as a professional. We're going to pay you because you get what we're selling. And this team is so ugly on every level. With the penalties, with the performance, with the effort, with the understanding of situations, all stemming down from this head coach.
Love it.
Go ahead, Alan. I'm sorry.
No, please don't be sorry, baby. This is your show, and you're bringing it like you always do. All right, let me play that Fox soundbite for you and then have you comment about penalties, which for this team, record-wise, statistically, I should say, is nothing to be proud of. Let me play the soundbite first and then share some stats with you.
You know, even last week, you know, I think, a lot gets made of penalties. I mean, truth be told, it was pretty even in the first half. And then it swings, 8-2 in the second half. There's a lot that goes into penalties. Officials are part of it, not just the football players.
Regarding the penalties,
yeah.
In general, we're talking about trying to identify where these guys are at. What are you looking for?
Well, I mean, I think we've been very focused all season. You know, when you look at the number of, one-score games that we've been involved with, I think our guys have been focused, played hard in, every ball game. So I don't look for it to be any different over this week and the next week.
Phil, comment on that, and then I'll give you the stats, because I'm about ready to blow another fuse here. So let me calm down and let you do your thing.
Well, he's clearly lying to you. I mean, he's playing tiddlywinks in trying to play checkers. It's just now you're tit for tat in how you win the penalty matchup. Then he's blaming the officials, which I get. I see that the officials have not called it a fair way. But that's a message you send to your football team. That we got to clean this up because we aren't getting a fair shot. That we're every time Cohen breaks a run, there's a penalty. And the way the guy mumbles and handles this situation in a culture of losing, it's almost so embarrassing as a football person for me to watch that this has how far this charter franchise has fallen, and to see some of these media people on national television and broadcasts comment on this guy being, well, he's a very good coach, but he's conservative, but he's a good coach. He's lost it. The train has fallen off the track a long time ago. I heard you and Buffon on the Buffon show. He was talking about echoing us from 100 Proof and Bears Hour Live of last week. This coach should have been fired after the Green Bay game. It's simple as that. Ryan Pace not deciding to do so is unfortunate. That conversation is going to happen about Pace, the show of Pace. Going to be a whole show about Pace. We got to do it. Because Barflies are fired up, and I get it. But we're in the midst sound bites and stupidity beyond anything imaginable when it comes to this game of football that he's playing tit for tat on penalty competition. Well, they had it. We was kind of even it. It was then it turned to 8-2, and then, you know, officials have control. This is the charter franchise? We're talking about that? No. That should have been addressed after the Falcons game, that it's on me as the head coach. And then you should have seen improvement. But you didn't. You should have seen this offensive coordinator fired and take a step in the right direction. A lot of these media heads will say, well, he's just trying to cover himself. Dowell will be the scapegoat. No, Dowell's terrible. He's awful. Should have been handled. It wasn't. Again, this is your head coach. This is the GM. This is your franchise. It's so in shambles and embarrassing to see how simple this could be fixed. Those of you thinking, "Oh, head coach isn't gonna change everything," you gotta expect no shit. We don't even know who the head coach is. But a damn sure, if it's the right guy, the improvement, not in only the wins and losses, but the direction of how you're handling number 10, is going to be the most influential showcase of what NFL football and what football. There's a lot of frauds out there. Let's be honest. They don't know shit about football. They know a rumor they'll share. They have an opinion they shouldn't because they don't know. They don't know what a counter trap is and what the guard's responsibility is. They don't know what an underlook is and how to block that. They're going to explain it to you? No, but they're going to tell you that Case Keenum is great, and this is why, and his ball velocity was this, and where his accuracy, and how many passes over 10 yards. What? The tape doesn't lie, guys. I'll tell you what's going on in Chicago. Offensive coordinator is lost and guesses. Fullback is on a roster that is the worst football player in football, in the NFL. He's causing damage to you, yet it still happens. Trey McBride was showing consistency in a relationship with a young quarterback. He gets cut for Josh Bellamy, who drops balls and is inconsistent. Then you got Jordan Howard, who gets 7 carries in a game. How? How? How is that even possible? And if there's 9 in the box, then you have a consistent call to threaten people down the football field. Because after 14 weeks of recognizing people are going to go out of their way to stop Jordan Howard, that's when you hit him with the deep ball. It becomes a check at the line of scrimmage. All right, guys, if they go into this and we get this look and the safe, strong safety cheats down, we want that because I want my accurate young quarterback to get loose. Hasn't happened once. You know how disgusting that is for a football guy to watch over and over? It's like you letting your son play Madden. He's never played before. He can't even control the stick. You're getting frustrated with the kid. You got to let him learn. He's got to learn from you. This is a pro football team, and they haven't learned. Third down situations, Aldo. Tariq Cohen's the most explosive player on the football team. He is. Use him. Third down, he should never be off the field. He's sitting over there holding his mouthpiece, watching Benny Cunningham pick up a blitz, turn around, and get a screen pass thrown to him. It is a travesty beyond epic proportion. It has created 23 songs. 23 songs on a CD is created by this demolition derby of football. It is from here to Japan where Sandy Tom in Aberdeen is listening that everybody knows how bad it is. Everybody has no complete and utter compassion for this coaching staff or this football team. Everything's up in the air. People are wondering if they should go to the game. Shouldn't even watch it. It's so frustrating. It gives me agita. People are dying, losing, and watching this football team in the hospitals. I mean, that's how bad it's gotten. People are writing letters to the ownership only to have them ignored. People are completely upset, and the ownership could care less. That's a problem. This football team and the performance on Sundays are a problem. We said, hold up, tap the brakes. Let's see what's going to happen versus a division rival in Detroit. And what happened? The wheels fell off. Everyone collapsed. Dowell can't call a play to save his life. There's no understanding of fourth and one. Do we even recognize that? Those quotes are so JV asinine. Like, any coach I talked to that week, the first thing they let off was, oh my God, did you hear your coach Fox talk about he was concerned about field position? He's down and he doesn't want an onside kick for field position? I mean, that's a loser's role. That's a loser. And that's what we have, and that's where we are. And those of us that thought that we were going to be improved, because I'm in there, to Tressman, it is worse, because I feel like you got a better roster. You have a lot more talent, young talent. So to recognize this head coach and listen to him talk and talk about penalties and bullshit the fan base and the media. And Aldo's right. You're right, Aldo. Not one of those guys. They talk tough. Oh, yeah, we give them a hard time. You still haven't got an answer. Who's the guy that's unafraid of the stupid media department of the Chicago Bears? Get thrown out. Try to take your media pass to the thing with Larry Mayer getting the first question. Like, you're not there every day, Larry. Come on.
Coach, is it going to be a real tough one to go up against a team that's 0-15, that's wanting to win 0-14?
Larry, I mean, seriously. What these lollipop questions, all of it, is so frustrating. That's why we're here. Because we're the only ones talking about it. We're putting pressure, by the way. I've got two guys who work for Chicago media outlets that have reached out to me this in the last 3-4 days that have said, whatever you're doing is frustrating the media department because you're calling them out. Keep it up. Wish I could do it. I'm just paraphrasing, but that's the kind of response that the Bears barroom is making noise because barflies are speaking up, Aldo. They're not afraid to jump in and call a spade a spade. And that, whatever we have growing in this family and this following that isn't afraid to quote us, that isn't afraid to credit us, that isn't afraid to recognize the truth and creativity and passion and love for this football team. How do you fix stupidity? How did Rosa Parks change it? She stood up and said something about it. How do people create change? You have to use your voice. Social media has given you an outlet. Bears Barroom doesn't ignore a guy with an Easter egg as his Twitter account. I've never done it. Well, I'm not going to answer this guy. He's got 4 followers. Huh? I work for Bear Report. I got a blue check mark. What the? That's not us. I call them out. I'm not afraid because I know I'm standing on the grounds of truth. And a lot of you that follow this room and have told people, listen, if you tell 10 of your friends the barroom grows and the message grows. Are you impressed with the podcast? Are you impressed with the time and effort that Aldo and John Buffon and Shane, who's goddamn collapsed in his bed right now, and myself and Bears Girl and Nikki and the plans that we have for the future? Are you impressed? Because I know that I'm proud of this. Yes, I swear. Yes, I'm sorry to your son or daughter that shouldn't listen to it. That's on you. This is entertainment and truth all meeting at once. God, whatever God you believe in, Mr. Magoo, and everybody else, has brought this entity together. And I stand by it. I love the Barflies. I love the interaction. Even if I wake up with 140 goddamn Twitter DMs and messages in a chain from Trey Busy and Driscoola to Greg Gabriel and the next guy. It doesn't matter what you are, what you have, what opinion you think, even if you're wrong and I disagree with you, I'll be the first one to respond. I try to go back. I hate how Twitter, I'll have 20 plus, Aldo. It'll just say 20 plus DM, so it could be 500. I don't know. But then I press it, and it jumps me all the way to the top. So now I got to scroll down. I don't know how. Maybe I could fix one of these barflies knows the better way to fix it. I wish I could, but then I got to scroll all the way back. So I try to answer everybody's comments, everybody's question, or everybody's joke, or whatever it is. I love you. I seriously do. I was sitting there thinking about Christmas and family. And Aldo, we don't go by a script. Aldo throws it to me. I stand in the pocket and try to freaking deliver every time. That's all it is. There's no script. We're talking football. Aldo will throw a quote out there, a question for the Barflies. But really, ultimately, all of this stuff is just the truth. What I feel, what we've talked about hours at hand in the creative bar room with the team, and really bringing it to you because you guys are bringing it too. And what I mean by that are the loyal listeners, the Barflies, and the new listeners. And like I said, you sell this. Let them know. Help us grow. That's my request to you. That's the gift you can give me. I know some of these Barflies are opening up CDs today that you sent out, Aldo. I'm proud of this. It's fun.
It is fun.
It made this terrible season for more than 50 people reaching out to me, thanking me and the bar room for what we've done and what we continue to do. But that means, son, that you took the time out to do that. It really does. I'm glad. Because you know what? Selfishly, I know what I am, and I can be confused as arrogant. I am a cocky son of a gun. I'll fight anybody. I will go to war for you. I will go for war for my team. And if you don't recognize that yet, then you could unfollow. I could give two craps. What I care about is this family, this feeling of team and togetherness that Aldo is putting together and the compassion that goes with it. People tag me. I ask you not to do one thing. That's only because I know frauds. And I don't want you to be misconstrued from it and put me into that. Because then it becomes a fight. And all the fight is to get to the top and to the truth. And that's really what we're trying to do. With John Firefox, Aldo Gandia, 2016. Truth. 100% truthful. Trubisky now, the competition needed to happen. We talked about it all the time. Year of the quarterback, Shane Marshall. Nobody thought, oh, they signed Glenn and they're not going to take a quarterback. Schefter didn't know. Aaron Lemming tried to pretend that he knew but didn't know. Maybe I can word this creatively to cover both sides. They might take a quarterback, but they also might not. But I'm leaning towards quarterback to protect my tweet. That kind of game isn't played here. What we say is what we feel. And that's why I can say that. And Aaron Lemming can come on the show anytime he wants and defend himself. But I'm going to tell it like it is. Because you are my family. And you respect and want the truth. You like Aaron Lemming. That's great. You like Jason LaCafora. That's great. I don't. I know that Matt Miller plays the same game. It's been told to me by pros all over the place. This guy's got no source, no executive. But that's the game they want to play. They want to portray something. I'll tell you what I do know. I'll tell you what I don't know. And I'll tell you how I feel. That's all I could do. You can jump and trample a guy like Dan Hampton, but the guy speaks from his heart. I respect that. The media in Chicago disrespects that guy like he's a nobody. He's a Hall of Famer. He loves this team and loves this game. I respect that. I don't got to agree with everything. Olin Krutz. I don't agree with everything he has to say. Loves this team. Knows the game. Understands the offensive line. Understands it. I respect that. Got no issue with that. Debate is healthy. Fraud, lies is not. That is just to clear up any misconceptions of anger or anything coming from me. It's the new season and the new year coming up, and we got a big game tomorrow, and I wanted to address these things, especially to you guys in the holiday season, because without you, women, the women of the barroom, Aldo, stepping up, just, I mean, how many times can I ever explain how a woman's voice resonates, echoes, and the power in it, that when they know of, when they understand the game of football, just the adrenaline of men sometimes are fearful of it. I love it. I'm impressed by people that study the game and love and have passion like myself. So you're welcome. There's no bias here. Color of skin, I love everybody. Everybody should know that. And the only thing we try to shy away from is the fraudulent behavior. And I know I could talk. I know I could talk. We joke about it. I laugh at it. But if I can't laugh at myself, then I'm a bad person.
Well, let me tell you this.
Because I am the brunt of all the jokes, right, Aldo?
Well, I wouldn't say my share. I try to lay low, but you guys got me real good when you brought up the Deshaun Watson, Matt Leinart. And the chat room won't let me forget it either. Speaking of the chat room, we've got a new visitor. His name is Crank Fan, and he is super impressed with what you're preaching. And he is he wrote not only did he want to know what your Twitter handle was, but he also said that I wish he had found this show before last week, that this is Showbiz Fan. So what I'm going to do for Crank Fan is play a Draft Dr. Phil song that you probably have not heard since you're new to the bar room, and give you a taste of what Draft Dr. Phil brings to the bar room. It's not only his top-notch football analysis, it's not only his inspirational talk, it's not only the way he breaks down film. Follow him on Twitter tomorrow during the game, and you will see him break down plays live on demand. Ask him to break down a play, he'll break it down for you. That's what he does. But he also does stuff like this, which is original parody songs and original songs. Take a listen to this song, which is one of my favorites from his Bears parody songs.
The barflies will cry, Black Monday has come, hey, says Fox is the guy. Hell, this all is gonna burn down. Oh yeah, hell, this all.
goodness sake. Oh, you better Firefox, for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out before I cry. Black Monday has come, Jason's Fox is a guy. Oh, yeah. Hell, it's all that's gonna fall down. Oh, yeah. Hell, it's all that's gonna fall down. Shane will keep Ginny up and awake. Phil will take Ted, fill up that button down. And you better Firefox, for goodness sake. Oh, you better Firefox, for goodness sake. Oh, little girl, watch out, the barflies will cry. The Monday has come, Texas Fox is the guy. Hell is all that's gonna fall down. Oh, yeah. Hell is all that's gonna fall down.
Barroom, watch out, the barflies will cry. Black Monday has come, Faces Fox is the guy. Hell is all that's gonna fall down. Oh, yeah. Hell is all that's gonna fall down. There's Barroom, we'll tear that fucker down. Hell is all that's gonna fall down.
Brilliant, Phil. It's effing brilliant. I'm telling you, we got so many positive comments about that song in the chat room. I mean, I could go on forever talking about this. Listen, but Chris Armstrong wants to know, when are you going to do a metal song? Because, you know, she is a big metal fan. And so, you know, one of the bands that she cited was maybe do some Led Zeppelin. So I thought of the idea, you could do a parody on Stairway to Heaven dedicated to John Fox. And it's Stairway to Hell, or Stairway to Last Place, or Stairway to Somewhere Not Good, or to Dead Phillips.
Stairway out of Chicago.
Yeah, there you go.
Stairway at O'Hare.
Stairway, get the F out of town.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I said to Chris, I'm going to give it a shot in 2018. I put that on 100 proof. I'm always a man of my word. And this song, you know, I'm excited, Aldo. You know, I gotta mention it. We got time. It's Christmas. You know, I get fired up because I wish I was coaching this team. Because I believe this team would be in a better place. And it's unfortunate and fortunate at the same time. Because change is going to come. A change is going to come. And that has got to be, you know, something positive in a terrible time. But, you know, I'm excited about Christmas. I'm excited about this family. I appreciate the kind words of you all. But really, Christmas Day, Aldo surprised me with this behind the music interview. And really, you know, when you're doing it, you're so focused on doing these songs. Like, I really put my heart and soul into these things. And Aldo coined it really to me in private, in a conversation. These are like my babies, which they are. You know, Isaiah Robles and Wutz Wolf and Jay Mueller and Dustin and Jer have, you know, Al. I wrote a song about Trey Busy, for God's sake, in 20 minutes. you guys inspire me, but you recognize the importance of lyrics and you repeat them back. Heidi, how could I forget Heidi? My biggest fan probably out there. The lyrics, when they come together, it just is an exciting moment because, you know, I'm a football guy. That's my foundation. But music was always a process in my life. And then to combine these two with a guy, with two guys that I freaking just love, like the direction of this show, Aldo and Shane, and giving me that platform to put this stuff together. This doesn't happen, as my wife said, what if Aldo was like, nah, just stick to rap or whatever, just do that. And, you know, it all came together. So with this song, I would never do. I love Bruce Springsteen. I respect him, but I wouldn't do it. It's not my thing. And then to get to that point where the lyrics came together and the sound that I wanted, and you'll hear all about it on this Christmas Day, and it'll become a podcast too. I understand you have families and stuff, but the live show is going to be on the MixLR, this channel, all day, Christmas Day. You're going to hear a special interview and special treats, and it'll become a podcast. But Aldo surprised me, brought it, talk about stepping up in the pocket, just asking the important questions of this and really bringing it to light that it is something different that nobody else is doing, another format to get our voice heard. The music transcends all languages. So the media of Chicago has refused to play these songs that are that great. They won't do it. They won't do it because they're afraid of the barroom. And that's what I've gotten back from the sources that I have in the media in Chicago. So that's fine. It's up to you now. Like I said, in the truth, these media heads won't give us credit. It's up to the barflies. That lyric is the truth. It really is. I created my own original song for our number one show, Bears 100 Proof. That lyric in there just rings true right now, even through Christmas. The creativity and the perfect time to bury the head coach and grab onto a song like Have a Fire, Coach John Fox Christmas, or the one Aldo just played. Hallis Hall is going to fall down if they keep John Fox. And Black Monday comes, and he says Fox is still the guy. This is so much fun and so much because I'm bringing it from my own creativity to the barroom and this family, as well as the barflies who have been epically, epically supportive and really stretching out their legs, not being afraid to say it to the appropriate people. And that means a lot to me. And I really, really wanted to make sure I thanked you all on this Christmas because it really is important that I echo what Aldo has been saying for the last few weeks. You know, it's important to speak up. It's important to let your voice be heard. I know that they're listening. And it's important that the barflies unite and really start spreading the news, like Frank Sinatra would say.
I love it. I love it. All right, we are winding things up here. We've got... We're going to stretch out this close here for a while. Phil, I want you to share whatever is on your mind, and I also want to read out some of the more interesting, humorous comments in the chat room. So many to pick from, and I know I've probably bypassed some great ones, but I'm going to share some here. First of all, Chris wanted us to talk about what's going on with injuries with the Chicago Bears. That's been a problem since Foxy showed up. And I've done some research on that, Chris. You know, we're actually ranked this season. We're ranked towards the middle of the heap in terms of player games lost by injuries. The problem is an NFL problem. It's become an epidemic. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it. Phil and I have talked about it, that the CBA, the Collective Bargaining Agreement, forbids players from practicing as often as they used to. And so that could be part of the problem.
No, it is part of the problem.
Yeah.
It's not could. Right. It really is.
I think that the NFL needs to put together a commission that, because this is a league-wide problem, and so they have to start looking at how every team is dealing with injuries and put together a best practices. This should no longer be, you know, a team hoarding secrets for how to keep players safe. They should share all the best practices, because the quality of the NFL is being diminished by quality players not playing anymore. So do whatever is possible to come up with new ideas, new innovation to solve this problem. This is a huge effing problem for the NFL, right, Phil?
Aldo, I got to speak on it. We got time.
Oh, yeah.
I know. This is important. This is a great question, and Aldo has spoken about this before with me, and it really does come from the CBA protecting, and this is wrong on the player's end, thinking that you're going to get out. You know, a guy who's a martial artist or a hockey player, they don't have practices where they, or long spurts where they're not getting physical contact. Your body, as much as you want to not believe it, needs to feel full contact in order to prepare for Sunday. So if you're playing a collision sport, let me just tell you, and you don't hit all week, but then you hit on a Sunday, then Monday and Tuesday, you're freaking sore. Let me tell you, just think about yourself at whatever age or wherever you are. There's 20-year-olds listening. There's 18-year-olds listening. There's 40, 50-year-olds listening that won't play again or whatever. You pick up a basketball and go play tomorrow, how sore are you the next day? So if you're a professional athlete in a collision sport and you're only allowed to hit three times, you're allowed during season, three practices of full contact. Does that make any kind of sense? So now the technique of tackling, the physicality and the mental practice, granted, you've done it your whole life to get to this level, but at some point, mentally, are you going to shy away from contact? Look at our fullback, for God's sake. You've seen it out of him. The need for physicality is there. It should be once a week in the season. You're padded up. You're going live. You're playing to the whistle. You would see less injury. Your body needs that that physicality, full speed pop in order to prepare yourself for Sundays. I believe you just can't wait all week and then go live and think that the body is just going to absorb and get ready for the next week and do it again. That's why I believe the injuries are what they are.
Totally agree. Totally agree. All right, we got Benjamin. Says this is, and he meant it as a joke, but it's kind of an interesting take. He says that if you swap Mitch Trubisky for Deshaun Kizer, then the Bears become the Browns. What do you think about that, Phil?
It's actually a good point.
Yeah, don't you think?
You know, I don't have an answer. There's so on Hugh's side pulling the kid out, and I am a big Hugh supporter. I've always been. I've felt like but some people are just meant to be offensive coordinators. When it comes to feel, I believe Hugh has that and has the understanding. I couldn't understand sitting that kid the way he did. Mm-hmm. I felt like there has to be more to the story, possibly. Is this kid a malcontent? Was he mouthing off and being inappropriate to coaching? And being, you know, coached up, and he's telling you to go F yourself, then yeah, you're benching this kid. You're not going to put him out there that's what it has for fear. Here's the face of your franchise. But that mistake and that error, obviously the performance of both coaching staffs with younger players, they look like a similar path, don't they? But the Bears have victories on the legs of Jordan Howard and Mitchell Trubisky. So I understand it, and I see exactly what he's saying, that this team could easily be 0-4 14 themselves.
Mm-hmm. So true. Now, Lucky Kurtz, a lot of good chats from Lucky today. He's vying for player of the game honors. He wrote, I actually think that Dal Loggins will get locked up in the bathroom during the game. That's a good one, Lucky. That's a good one. Now,
will he be able to breathe? He's always sniffling.
Oh, my God.
The air level might come out. It's funny because even in the song, Little Dumber Boy, I didn't recognize it when I was doing the recording of it, and we didn't talk about it. But then after we did the shows and we're pulling all this audio from the guy, he's always sniffling.
Yep.
He's always tearful or coked up. Yeah, I don't know what the hell he's doing. But then you go back and listen to the Little Dumber Boy at the beginning, and you'll hear, yeah, we're down in the red zone. I'm like, Jesus Christ. The song just got that much better.
It did. I actually talk about that a little bit on the Christmas special, which, as Phil mentioned, is on Christmas Day. We will begin that show at noon Central Time right here on MixLR. And I have not done editing the show yet. It's going to be 3 to 4 hours long easily. We've got plenty of surprises. Phil is interviewed by a guest celebrity. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it could be Chicago Bears fans like Mila Kunis or Daryl Hannah. You know, it's going to be somebody.
Bill Murray appearance.
Yeah, it's going to be really something special that you barflies are going to enjoy. And we also got some other surprises. So you definitely have to tune in. If you miss it at any point, just come back to MixLR, because what I'm going to try to do is to have it play out throughout the day. So once the 3 or 4 hours is done, I'll re-rack it and I'll start again, so that whatever you're doing on Christmas Day, you got some downtime for a little while, just crank up the audio on MixLR.com, and you're going to hear Phil talk about the songs, but not only the songs, but also within the context of football. So when he talks about Droppy Josh, his awesome song about Josh Bellamy's drops, he's also going to talk about what could a football coach do to help a guy like Josh Bellamy become a better pass catcher. So it's really a fascinating show, and I'm really happy that Phil devoted so much time, not only to the show, but just in producing these 23 incredible songs.
Yeah, there is a surprise track, and some of the Barflies have gotten their CDs, so trying to want you to wait till Christmas Day to talk about that final track, if you could do that for us, that message out. We want, because we're going to talk about this last song, the hidden song on the track. You know, anything we do at Bears Barroom has truth and meaning in it. So we're not going to talk about it tonight. We're definitely going to talk about it on 100 Proof.
Oh, yeah.
I know a couple of guys reached out to me today, and both are like, dude, that last track, yo. Like, love, Barflies love that. When I did it and you hear it, you'll understand if you listen to the show, and really ultimately, I'm excited about everything that we're going forward. And one thing, a big wig reached out to me from one of these national medias, and he's like, you got to tell your Barfly, because I never do it. And I don't know if Aldo does it, but I know Shane has done it, because he is the smartest man in the bar room, right?
That's right.
But if you guys could do us one favor, and I got to start doing this more often, this was the advice, just go over to the iTunes or the iPod, whatever, Podbean, Google Play, whatever they're called. I got to brush up my knowledge of what platforms we're on. Even the YouTube. Just give it a like. Take 5 minutes out of your day to comment and subscribe and tell other people. Because the Bears Barroom is growing. I'm telling you, it's growing. And the responses, but that will, just that little favor will help us out. Actually, I've asked you for 2 favors. Share it with your boys. Send it to 10 people. See if they love it. The new guy in the chat room reaching out. A new follower on Twitter just reached out to say how much they like and appreciate what we're doing or what I'm saying. I appreciate that. One of you shared that with him, or however he got here. Reddit. Go on Reddit. do whatever to post on Facebook. Put it, get our message out there. We shout you out. No charge. Because we love our audience. Man. Without you, there is no show. And I get that 100%. And we have to give it back to give you the quality that we're giving you. And I can say nothing but praise to this man over here, Aldo Gandia. Quick story, he'll never share. Guy could have been in Hawaii right now with his wife, had a free trip, decided to stay back in Chicago, produce these shows, felt it was important because of the Barfly Nation, Barflies United Worldwide Nation. And how important that he'll never tell you that. I'm going to tell you that because that's what this and our work. I know he's here for me and Shane, too, and Bears Girl and Nikki and John Buffon because it means something. And that's all I'm trying to say. If guys are doing this for you, you could give back. And I'm putting some surprises together. I let one out the bag about putting the Barfly football team together. I'm going to do that, and that's going to be fun in the new year. And then all so much is going on, but you got to just do those two little things.
Yeah, people are on the chat room are saying that I'm nuts for not going to Hawaii.
I know. I said the same thing.
Well, yeah, probably the next time I might jump on that offer when my sweetheart makes the offer, if she ever does again, because she knows how much I'm dedicated to the bar room right now. So, in fact, you know, every time she plans something, she asks me, okay, so when is it that you do Bears Hour Live? Is it Monday or Tuesday? I go, Monday, sweetheart. And so she goes, okay, so well, I'll make these plans for Tuesday. No, we're taping Bears 100 Proof on Tuesday.
So I gotta go. That's my wife, too. Same thing. She's like, all right, I'll see you later. I'll see you tomorrow. Bears 100 Proof, I'll see you tomorrow.
Isaiah Robles asked the question earlier, any chance the McCaskies surprise us and fired Ryan Pace on Black Monday? I don't think it'll happen, but his record is the same as Fox's. Phil, what do you think?
I have thought about this long and hard, and his absence, and granted, we want to devote a whole show to Pace. Mm-hmm. I know Shane, I joke, but Shane is his number one adorer, and I joke about that, but really, ultimately, he has a lot of questions that need to be answered, and in his silence, as you saw, I caught that glimpse. I got another great shot that I'm trying to use in the game that I captured. No one has shown it yet. Only Barflies are going to get it. I'm going to save it for Christmas Day. I got a great shot I captured. But the shot of Ryan Pace, as I tweeted out early this morning, it's a guy thinking about, did I get handed this situation? Because it's a catch-22. I wanted this job. But according to getting the job, Ernie Accorsi, the shoe salesman's telling me I got to hire this guy. So what do I want? Selfishly, I want the opportunity. Fox is a known commodity. I kind of got sold on it when I wanted a coach, Dan Quinn. And he went down that route. So I can totally see that there is discussions being had. What's the best move upstairs? But think about who's making those discussions. Ted Phillips and George McCaskey? I mean, that's the problem right there. Who's above Ryan Pace needs to be a football guy. Bill Polian, Gary Fensick, like we said. Somebody needs to be in control of the business of football over the top of a George McCaskey. Ted Phillips is only concerned about making money, and that's his sales pitch to the family, whose their whole feeding process is off of this golden egg they've, you know, inherited. So now the franchise is suffering from all the mistakes. Somebody sent me a rumor that Michael McCaskey's going to take back and come back and take over for George. that's part of their plan. Do I believe that? I don't know, but I don't want to put anything past. Now he's like, my brother messed up, hired Pace. No, this is wrong. I'm coming back to save the day. Now, could that happen? Hell yeah, it could happen. This is like a Days of Our Lives franchise right now. It's really anything could happen right now. But when you calm down and you think about some of the things like $14 million addition that they're planning to Halas Hall and what have you, and Ryan Pace wants that kind of simmers and tones down any feelings, but you never know. I gave it like a 3% chance. I'm looking at his absence from any kind of interview or any kind of tough question. And I think Aldo was right. He didn't want to answer the tough question of John Fox and have that be the motivation of the interview. But you deserve to answer that question, bro. That's your job. Mm-hmm. And you really need to answer some of the Mike Glennon signing and Wheaton and all the misses on that end. What's going on? Maybe your player personnel guy on the pro side needs to be gone. Mm-hmm. I've heard some rumors about him, too, but I'm not going to share those. But those issues need to be addressed with the general manager of a franchise that's drowning in Lake Michigan. And if they go out tomorrow, Aldo, because there is no giving, guys. And happy birthday, Isaiah Robles. Glad it's today, because if it's tomorrow and they lose to the 0-14 Browns and they get their first win, it's just going to be a shitstorm in Chicago. And if this media pussyfoots around and dances around, you need to demand, where's Ryan Pace? I'm going to sit here in the media room and go on live television. Nope, they refuse to give us Ryan Pace. You think that's going to not happen? No, it's going to happen. They don't want to be embarrassed, too. Season ticket holders are pissed off. There's a lot of people pissed off. Where's Ryan Pace? That picture of him in the crevice of the doorway looking out. And the picture I shot and put up on Twitter. If you go in my timeline, check that out. It's a guy it's hiding. And that's not okay.
Phil, just alerting our audience that we do this show live every Monday. Today is special because of the holidays. We moved to Saturday night. And we've got Saturday Night Football on. The whole reason we do Monday night is so that we can talk Bears football during Monday Night Football. So tonight we're talking Bears football during Saturday Night Football. And I just saw a graphic flash up on the screen that Brett Hundley has just broken Bob Avellini's record. Bob Avellini, former Chicago Bears. Remember him? Bob Avellini?
Well, he Bob, just, number seven?
Yeah, exactly. He just broke Brett Hundley of the Packers just broke Bob Avellini's record for lack of touchdown passes thrown over, I didn't get the number, something like 157 passes. So that's a great record for Brett Hundley to own and not a Chicago Bear quarterback.
And we're winning. We're winning.
That's right.
When we're not playing. Hey, Bob Avellini. Hey,
Bobby Avellini. Hey, speaking of Italian,
Uncle Roscoe.
John Santucci.
Oh, what a great tweet today by Santucci.
Man, he brings it. He brings it.
He's really bringing it. This kid is like off the radar working on the practice squad. He comes out and starts catching every ball. Bellamy's getting nervous.
Well, John says that the public is no longer buying Fox's BS. It's an undisciplined team. This is obviously, he posted this when we were talking about penalties. When the biggest news story about the Bears is Fox's pet monkey, it's time to pack up the old
coach. This guy really, like, there's certain barflies that will tweet my thought. And Isaiah Robles is one of the, this dude, Santucci, has been stepping up.
Stepping up big time.
I don't know how to express it. I just can't. I only deal in the truth, and that's exactly the point, Santucci. When you're talking about the freaking pet monkey, that died of a heat stroke, for God's sake. You notice how he put it on his brother?
I know, yeah.
Yeah, my brother kind of left him tied up by a tree. What did he say? Strung up, tied up. Well, who the hell puts the goddamn monkey tied up to a tree, for God's sake? Poor thing. In the freaking poor humidity monkey. At Florida with Dustin.
Poor little Gidget.
Freaking A. Freaking Gidget. All right, should arrest him for animal cruelty.
Really?
Years later.
Oh, man. Imagine we'd have a winning record right now.
Oh, my God.
If
he
became
God.
An NFL head coach. Santucci with
it
the
is
one.
Sad. Like, that'll be Adam Johns. Big story tomorrow in the paper. Will the Monkey Whisperer win the first? Will they beat the 0-14 Browns?
Santucci with a one-handed grab with this one. Bottom line, other coaches have out-coached Fox and his coaches 70% of the time, and that's a fact. And, John, you might be kind there with 70%, but, yeah, that's probably accurate.
Do you guys remember the Bears blog taking a sub-tweet jab at me at Bears Barroom leading up to the Green Bay game where we're talking, obviously, I wrote the song, Fire John Fox, not a plan but an anthem, Bears Barroom, sending a message to the fandom. Wrote this song, original score, everything. Why are we talking about firing this guy? I mean, the Bears are trying... Then switches the story around. This is sheer what we're dealing with. And fans are sheep following these people, misleading you and saying they said this, have sources, all this bullshit. This is the problem with Santucci. This coaching issue, the one Bears Barroom talked about since 2016. Aldo Gandhi, a hashtag Firefox, Sandy Tom made it his AVI for a reason. That reason continues to live and breathe still after that Packer game, still today. And the car's out of control, and it's sad. You're right. And let me say this other point for Santucci, since he's dropping bombs and he's making one-hand catches. This football coach has not won a game that he's been favored in ever for the Chicago Bears.
Oh, no.
They're favored tomorrow by 6, Aldo.
Oh, no. Please, God, no.
We got problems in Chi-Town. And I want to watch. Barflies, we're going to watch. I know you're all going to watch and comment and tag me, and I love it. Just keep doing it every time this number 46 is in the backfield. He'll be there first play, guaranteed. He'll miss his block. We'll laugh. Burton. But I want you to watch, besides him, the offensive line. I want to, their first series, how do they fire out? And the defensive line. That's going to tell you what they feel about the head coach tomorrow going up against the worst football team in the NFL. Who are the Bears? That first snap. If they're firing out, I'm going to tell you, yes, they came ready to play. That's awesome. If they are catching or standing up or lackadaisical of any sort, I'm going to let you know. And I'm going to tell you, that's going to be the determining point of this game.
John Santucci's doing it again, brother. Listen to what he wrote now. As far as pet monkey names go, Dal is a really good one.
Well done.
And he goes on to write, the guy tells you that Kevin White is day-to-day when he really needs surgery, but he will get in front of a microphone and tell a murder mystery story. That is good. That is good.
Oh, my God. And I love these guys. And seriously.
I'm
really how
impressed.
Great are these guys?
Oh, the best. And I'm really impressed with Crank Fan. He writes, sounds like a real nice story that John Fox told there, a real family Christmas story. I wonder how that shit came up. The guy tells you, oh, he's the one. Did he? Oh, no, he didn't say that. Hold on. Oh, I messed up here. Oh, man. Had a perfect show going, and I dropped the pass, man. It was Crank.
Hey, you should allow one drop.
It was Crank Fan that mentioned that the guy tells you that Kevin White is day-to-day when he needs surgery, but he will get in front of the murder.
That's
way to go,
Crank. That's another great point, though.
Yeah,
Aldo.
It really is.
Remember all the misleading, misguiding information? Instead of just being straightforward, do you know how much respect not only do you get from your... I'm not asking him to throw players under the bus. There's no advantage you've gained by saying, listen, Kyle is injured. He's going to need surgery. He hurt his neck or his shoulder. He's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. Whatever. You're straightforward. That's how you win over people, locker rooms. This is a business as well as a sport. The guy has been a liar. He's been a manipulator, a mumbler, a fumbler, a stumbler. He's been everything, every lyric I could ever imagine come to life. The guy is not a representation of what this franchise needs. And that's somebody that recognizes every goddamn play matters to them. Mm-hmm. That is the head coach you need here. Not someone who is just going to focus on... No, every play... Every snap, every rep, Kevin White coming back should be playing every rep in preseason. Every goddamn one through the fourth quarter to catch him up. If he gets hurt again, well, you cut your losses. But you found out and you gave him reps because that's what he needs. Same thing with Trubisky. You needed reps this year. You saw them pigeon toe and hold him out in situations where he needed to be in there and an open competition needed to happen. And it didn't happen. And I was all over that. And look what transpired. It's piss poor coaching.
It is.
And I will go to my grave saying 90% of the issues, this football team could be competing in this division. Instead, they're looked at as a nobody. They're nothing. And that's the head coach.
Yep, indeed. And that's why Chris Armstrong writes, the future resides with the next head coach. And that is so damn true. Boy, oh boy, this has been a great show, Doctor.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
You really brought it. An hour and a half of great fun. Again, I want to tell people that on Christmas Day, we've got this special that I'm in the middle of building this thing, and I'm really proud of what we're going to be presenting here on Christmas Day. It's a showcase of Draft Dr. Phil's music. He's going to talk about how the Barflies, how Shane, Bears Girl, myself helped him inspire to write and produce 23 Christmas parody songs about the Chicago Bears. It's just a phenomenal show. We've got some guest surprises popping in to say a few words. I think it's going to be a really, really cool show. If you can't make it on Christmas Day, it will be on your podcast stream the following day. And like Phil has said and everyone else has been saying, please like us on iTunes, write a favorable review. If you're watching on Podbean or listening on Podbean or listening on YouTube, because all of these are up on YouTube, you know, give us a like, say a few words, let people know about it. Our intention is we focus on the quality of the work that we do. And sometimes we fail to kind of remind people this is how you can help us and so forth. But in reality, now it's time for you guys to help us and just let people know. And I know already so many of the Barflies have done so many wonderful things, and we are greatly indebted. And so we're just asking for a little bit more. Tell your friends. Give us a good review. Phil, why don't you say goodbye to your fans, and then we'll be back here Christmas Day.
Well, guys, I can't thank you enough. I really... I mean it. We had a lot of laughs. There were emotion in the show. There's going to be surprises, like you said. And, you know, this season hasn't been what I had hoped, clearly. But I am very, very confident that Mitchell Trubisky is going to be something special. And at Chris Armstrong echoing her, a writer for Bears Barroom, saying and displaying and recognizing exactly where I'm from. Where I'm at in the reality of getting the right head coach here with a plan is going to be instrumental in taking and flourishing this young man. You see the narrative being drawn up already. You can't fall victim to it, okay? The Jimmy Garoppolo comparison and that kind of narrative is so, so misleading, and is totally to try to belittle this young man's confidence. You saw a scheme in place with Cutler and his frustrations and what have diabetes and all that other stuff, whatever it was, will be. But let me say this, Mitchell Trubisky, standing in the face of adversity, is going to need fans. Thus, I tweeted out what I did and pinned it to my Twitter about knowing that we believe in you and having that fan base stand up against the media taking shots at this young man, that he's some sort of bust after he's starting with all that. You can't have it both ways. And I know the Barflies are educated, intelligent. They love the game. They want more. They want to learn. They recognize the truth coming from us. And I appreciate it. I want to say happy birthday to Isaiah Robles. I want to shout out Alec. I want to shout out Nelson, Dustin, B. Diddy. These are guys that went out there and just keep standing up for the truth. They call us a cult now, for God's sake, to try to belittle you. But really, ultimately, it is a family. And I love being a part of it. I can't express that anymore. I don't care about anybody and what they think I am. I know who I am, and I know this is the place for me. I'm happy here. I really appreciate you, Aldo. Again, thank you for sending the food from Chicago. We had it tonight. The kids all ate and were fed. They had hot dogs from Chicago and deep dish pizza. We didn't get to the cheesecake. We're saving that for tomorrow when we have all these other people showing up at the house. But thank you so much for that. And again, thinking of you and thinking of all the Barflies that got the CD and Shane Marsall, rest. I got nothing but love for everybody. And enjoy your Christmas. And obviously we'll be communicating tomorrow. What a great time I had on this show. I really did. I know I spoke a lot, but it is my show. Shane that?
I'll remind Shane.
He's counting how much time I talk. I'm like, wait a second. There's no script. I got to talk football, and I got to talk. So, give an Italian a chance.
I'll remind him on his Get Well card. Hey, P.S., it is Phil's show. All right, brother. Remember, if you drink, please do not drive, and always bear down.
Bear down.